realfaith.org.au.
And he said to me, do you want to start a band? And I said, yes. So there we had our first band, two members, both bass players. And then he said, I have another friend called Johnny Kizelnicki and he wants to play guitar. But he's got another friend called Henry Lazinski who wants to play drums. And I said, yes. I said, get him in the band, because I figured that must be Rosanna's brother.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
David and Rosanna Palmer have been involved in Christian music and ministry for more than three decades. Before that, they were professional musicians traveling and performing in their band, Rosanna's Raiders. But then, the Lord entered their lives, and they were saved out of the rock scene. Since then, the Palmers began serving God in whatever way they could, which has included music outreach, worship leading, church planting, pastoring, teaching, and just generally having a heart for the outcasts of society. And today, they're still going strong. David and Rosanna, welcome to the program.
Hey,
thank you.
Glad to have you with us. And we want to go all the way back. Now, everybody knows you're musicians. You make all kinds of music and have been for years. But I don't know if everybody knows, how did you meet and grow up and where did you grow up and all that kind of thing? So where should we start?
Well, we're both country kids from Gippsland. And when I was 10 years old, my parents moved me to a farm, which I really enjoyed, and we used to have a milking shed where we milked the cows, and my dad put a radio in there, and one day we were listening to the local country and western radio program made by a local, and he had a young singer on there called Rosanna Lazinski, so I noted that. She was good.
Oh, that's your actual name.
Yeah, good Polish name.
How did you come to be singing on the radio?
Well, I wanted to play guitar when I was a little kid, very young. And my teacher came in at grade three and was playing guitar. And I said, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I said, will you teach me how to play? And he said, oh, no, you know, you're too young. But some of the grade six boys were playing guitar. And I said, oh, can I sit in and learn how to play? So I was allowed to sit in and learned how to play. And so I used to carry my guitar to school every day and going back and forth from school, strumming along on my guitar. And the guy across the road was had a radio program, and he just said to me, do you want to come on the radio show?
So he heard you?
Yeah, he heard me. I don't know. I mean,
I'm just trying to picture this. You're walking down the street, strumming along your guitar, singing?
Yeah, I don't think I was singing. I was just strumming my guitar.
Oh, okay.
And he said, come in. Do you sing? You know, sing me a song. And I sang a song. He said, would you like to go on the radio? And I think it was like that night or the next day or something. And I said, okay. And that was a Christmas special on his radio program. So, yeah, I did that.
And David heard you.
He heard
while
me.
Milking the cows.
That's right. And then, of course, I'm a
couple. How romantic.
Who would ever have thought of that? A couple of years later, when I was at high school, Rosanna is a couple of years younger than me, so she had her first day at high school when I'd been there 2 years, and we had a big school assembly, and of course, we are talking country school way back in the day, and there's no hall for this, we're all just outside, lined up in rows, and they had Rosanna sing.
Oh, bloody, oh, blada, life goes on, hey, yeah.
How did that come about?
I don't know, I've got no idea.
How many people start off high school being asked to sing in front of everybody?
No, I don't even know.
Maybe they heard you while milking cows.
Maybe on the radio.
Maybe they heard it too on the radio.
I'm not sure.
And I just noted that and I said, yes. And I was really impressed with the way she played the guitar. By then she had a big 12-string guitar. It was nearly as big as her. And she played it really well. And I could actually hear the bass almost playing at the same time. And I thought, man, that's good. So I was then very keen, you know, to pursue this because I really wanted to do music too. And it wasn't until I was traveling to school one day on the school bus, because we were on farms. Mm-hmm. And, of course, back in those days, there was no political correctness. And when the bus got full, you had to sit on someone's knee.
Oh, really?
And because I was one of the last picked up, I was sitting on a friend's knee. His name was Rudolf Veenstra. And he said to me, do you want to start a band? And I said, yes. And he said, what do you want to play? And I said, bass. And he said, I want to play bass. So there we had our first band, two members, both bass players. And then he said, I have another friend called Johnny Kizelnicki, and he wants to play guitar. And I said, yeah, I think I've seen him at school. But he's got another friend called Henry Lazinski, who wants to play drums. And I said, yes. I said, get him in the band, because I figured that must be Rosanna's brother.
Oh, okay.
And then they would, no one had a license yet, so they would come to my house. They had to walk miles to get to my house. And we couldn't play. We just had our instruments and fiddle around with them for a couple of hours and talk dreams, you know. And they would say to me, you know, we don't want any girls. And I said, well, who's going to sing? And he said, well, you can sing a bit, I can sing a bit. And I go, yeah, I've heard me and I've heard you. This is not going to work. So I just kept wearing away at that stone for a long time. And eventually, John Kizelnicki got his license. And so we were able to drive to Henry's house. And I knew Rosanna was there. And I just kept saying to them, this is all good, but who's going to sing? Because Henry and Rosanna's dad had a pig farm. And Henry had sold some of his pigs and bought a drum kit. So he was ready to go.
As you do.
Yeah, and then, right. Anyway, eventually, you tell them what you were doing.
Oh, I was in the house saying, I'm going to get in that band. I'm going to get in that band.
Oh, and so you knew about this?
Yeah, well, I was in the house. They were out in the garage practicing. So,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I talked them into letting Rosanna come out. I said, look, she can go from A to Z on one song.
You know? Were angling for this for how many years?
Many years.
You're a wise man.
I'm a one-woman man. That's the end of that story.
Yeah. Oh, well, so you're saying there might have been more interest than just the music. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, from me, yes, from me. I knew exactly what I wanted in life, you know. I wanted to marry Rosanna and do music for the rest of my life. That's what I wanted to do. But when I first got my first opportunity to be alone with her, I asked her, will you marry me? And she didn't answer for 6 years.
I was pretty Rosanna, young. I was very saying. Young. But we did become friends, and we were friends for a long time.
How
just,
old were
just
you?
Good mates.
How old were you both when you...
Oh, I might have been 17.
And I would have been 15.
Yeah. What did you think? He's asking you to marry you? You're 15 years old?
I know. I just wanted to be a rock star. I wasn't thinking relationships.
Well, but that's kind of how it started?
Yep. Yeah. And then Rosanna came into that bungalow that night, rehearsed through several songs. A couple of days later, she had a phone call. Will you come and sing at our fashion parade? She said, can I bring my band? And they said, yes. So that was our first concert. We didn't even know how to play properly, but you see, my sister was studying photography and she was the photographer for the local paper. And so she photographed us, which you can't hear us playing, but you could see us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She photographed us playing at this concert and it got on the front page of the local paper. So from there on, we had great publicity through my sister. She had photos of the band every week and would submit it. And then if they ever had, you know, just a country newspaper, whenever they had no room to fill up an extra page, our photo would go in. So
oh, wow.
We were getting photos in all the time.
Oh, wow. So did you look good? I mean, did you look like a good band?
Rosanna did.
So that was enough to get you started.
Yeah, yes. That was it. We had a band then.
Your recollections of that time period, Rosanna?
Yeah, oh, well, we just got started. We did that gig and we did the 10 songs that we know, and from there we got other invites and the band had begun.
Did you actually start to learn your instruments and how to play together?
Yes.
Oh, we continued to do that the whole time.
Yeah, but yeah. Of course we were still at school, so it was study from Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. And I had to complete so many hours each week. And as soon as that was finished, I could practice. I didn't practice the other days. And then we'd organise, say, a rehearsal on Friday night. But you've got to understand, our passion for music was so strong that we did something like we hired a local hall at Druin West. And we went out there to rehearse. And we were rehearsing for a little while. And someone said, what's the time? We looked. It was 3 a.m.
Oh, now, we must have improved because we did enter the local battle of the bands. And we didn't win the first one, but we changed our strategy for the next one, which was just a week or two later, and we actually won that. So we won our local Battle of the Bands.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
We must have improved somewhat.
Yeah. Now, getting back to your relationship here, you proposed marriage, but were you dating or did you become a couple?
I knew I had to be very wise. Now, I wasn't smart about a lot of things, but I was smart enough to know if I pushed this, it could mess everything up. I just had to be patient. Now, Rosanna had another boyfriend in that time, and I just had to be patient. I just had to wait. But I didn't want to do anything that would ruin the band. And so we just kept on performing, mostly on the weekends for the first couple of years, a few years. I was actually going off to university there and come home on the weekends, rehearse, play some concerts.
We were really good friends.
Okay. So you had the long-term strategy going.
Absolutely.
So you weren't heartbroken and all that.
It wasn't easy.
Just going to have to be patient about this.
It was not easy, but I just knew to persevere. I don't know why. I think God must have been helping me.
And what were you thinking, Rosanna?
I don't think I was thinking that much. I think I thought in the background that we'd probably get married one day.
Oh, now you tell me.
Our guests today are David and Rosanna Palmer from Rosanna's Raiders, and we're finding out their story as a couple, the story of the band, and we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how they all became Christians. All that and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guests today are David and Rosanna Palmer from the Christian musical group Rosanna's Raiders. We're finding out their story as a couple, the story of the band, and we'll also find out how they all became Christians.
We played in the country, and we had one or two opportunities in the city, but not many. But after a few years, we decided we were going to become a professional band. Now, none of us knew how to do that. We just decided it. I think Rosanna was the one that was most against it. But then after a while, she joined another band, which was, again, heartbreaking. But she joined a band in the city.
Broke his heart twice now. I'm keeping
shocking,
track of
isn't
this.
It?
You get over these things. She joined a band in the city that was called Staten Island, and it played all around Melbourne, and I just hung around the band. I just hung around. And eventually the bass player and the leader of the band got in some kind of a dispute, and he sacked the bass player, and I was just there. So then I tried out one song, and he put me in. So then I was in the band too, which was really good. But it was a six-piece band, so we weren't making enough to be professional. So we figured that we could make as much money out of a three-piece band as you could out of a six, but it's double each.
Yeah.
So then we went back to Rosanna's brother, Henry, and we formed a three-piece band. And we only had that going a short time. And then our agent said, oh, there's an agent in Queensland that needs bands. Do you want to go to Queensland? And we just said, yes, we dropped everything, traveled to Queensland, dropped everything, got no idea what we left behind. And when we got there, they said, oh, you're not really suited to what we want. but you've got some potential.
All the way up
different
there.
Different style, yeah. Oh, we just played
a different style.
Yeah,
because Brisbane's definition of what a commercial band was different to Melbourne's definition.
Oh, okay.
Very heavy funk type.
Yeah, they were doing all heavy funk and soul music. We thought commercial band was top 40 for playing in a restaurant quietly. That's what it was in Melbourne. Anyway, they showed us some of their bands, and then they sent us up to Gladstone. But, of course, in Gladstone,
you're getting further and further north.
Yeah.
But they loved us there. That was the best thing we could do.
It was a strange thing because we didn't have to change our style there. We just resorted back to more like our first band. We played some heavy music, lots of cover songs, and we were a big hit in Gladstone, huge. Mm. And so we stayed there for a few months, and then the drummer was getting married, so we had to come back to Melbourne. Didn't do much around Melbourne. We probably played a few concerts. But then the agent's on the phone, they want you back in Gladstone. So back to Gladstone we went.
Yes.
And then the next phone call we got from him about 3 months later was, we want you to go to Hobart. And by now it's getting on towards winter.
So we went to Hobart. We played at the casino there. And that was a hard slog because we were there playing six nights a week. And then occasionally we would have to do the seventh night. Anyway, it was very hard going there. But it was good. We were working. It was great.
Yeah, we were working the whole time.
So you were a professional band.
Yes, absolutely.
You succeeded.
Yeah.
So things are starting to take off. Yeah. I was wondering if we could just kind of pause the music career and go back to your spiritual backgrounds. Before you became Christians, did you know anything about Jesus and faith in God and the Bible and all that?
I grew up in a Catholic church, and so as a little kid, I used to go to what was called catechism on the Saturday mornings and get all the teaching, and it really helped me to get an understanding of God, although it was the fear of God, and I think it was that fear of God that kept me out of trouble while traveling through the whole band scene.
Yeah, because band scenes, typically, rock and roll and all that's usually partying and drugs and all that.
That's right. So that fear of God was there, and I knew I couldn't do anything wrong. So that was a good thing, but there was never a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And for Dave, he was on the other side of the railway line.
Yeah, we both went to church in the same town, Long Warrie. G'day to everyone from Long Warrie. And Rosanna was at the Catholic Church, which is on one side of the railway tracks, and I went to a church. We went to the Methodist Church, but it's in a building called the Union Church, not the Uniting Church, the Union Church. And we went there and we did Sunday school and we went to church every week. And you can't really say you learned a lot, but you knew about God until my older sister, you know, the photographer, she started to teach a teenage group. And so when I got to teenage years, she actually taught us some good stuff. And that what we learned with her in that group changed my life from the point of view of, like Rosanna, you know, going through the pub scene, the nightclubs. Didn't matter whether there was drugs and drinking all around us, there's no way in the world I would have touched it or done anything sexually impure because of that foundation that was put in. So,
and the other thing, of course, is that Erica then used to send us books. They would always be sending us books like Nikki Cruz, you know, On the Streets of New York City, Run Baby Run, that sort of thing.
And it always had the Switchblade.
Yeah, Cross and the Switchblade.
David Wilkerson.
Yep, and it always had the prayer in the back. So we'd read the book and we'd always read this prayer inviting Jesus into our life. And so that was there, but that's as far as it went. We just thought, yeah, I'll just lead a good life. We've invited Jesus into our life, but it never made any deeper connection at that point.
Yeah, there was no... See, the churches we went to didn't have salvation in the church. There was no follow-up. There was nobody to really explain salvation or how it operated. And even though we'd said the prayers, and maybe something had happened, because I know I didn't even swear when I was a teenager. You know, I just knew.
So you're living very moral lives.
Absolutely.
Especially for rock stars or professional musicians.
Yeah.
But something was definitely put into our lives from those churches and our prayers. And, of course, our family loved Billy Graham and listened to him every week on the radio, without a doubt. And
so how did things change? How did you go to that personal relationship with Jesus?
Well, the next phase in the career was that we had decided to come back to Melbourne and to really try to make it here. And we changed our agent, and we had an agent in Melbourne, and we were working in the hotels and nightclubs around Melbourne. And we were really on the up and up. We started to get a light show, bigger PA. We had our own truck. We had, we still used to operate the sound ourselves, and the agent kept saying to us, you've got to get a sound guy and then I can really get you more money. Get a sound guy. So we got one, and then that was worse. It made it worse for him. So then eventually we got a new sound guy who we'd known for a long time through our recording contacts, but he was really well known and very, very good. He just had an instinct for it like nobody I've ever seen, just an absolute instinct. And I learned a lot from him all the time I could. I kept learning. But he was doing sound for us, and we really had some momentum in the band. It was a really amazing time. You know, we had momentum. We had everything going for us. The gigs were getting better. We were playing in the major venues around Australia. It was really going well. But the sound guy, who I absolutely respected, almost idolized him, he was having problems with his girlfriend, who was also in the music industry, and he was a heavy drug user, and she was also a very heavy drug user, but she started to have weird manifestations at home, and he was getting concerned about it because She was like a Jekyll and Hyde. When these manifestations happened, he didn't know who she was. He said to me, Dave, her voice changed to the voice of a man and her face changed to the face of a man. And I'd been very shy up till then. And I said, John, I know enough about this, see, from my sister and brother-in-law, mm-hmm. who were then pastors. Mm-hmm. I know enough about this to leave it alone, but I know someone who can help you. And he said, who's that? I said, my brother-in-law, because he'd told us some of his stories, which were similar, the people he had to deal with.
Now, when you're talking about manifestations, you're talking about like somebody being possessed. Is that
absolutely
what I'm understanding?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So
yes.
Demonic possession is what you're talking about.
Totally. And
wow.
The sound guy, he could see this before his eyes, and it was really, you know, concerning him.
Yeah, freaking him out.
Totally.
Yeah.
So when he said that to me, I just got a bit bold. For the first time ever in my life, I would never say anything to this person because I really, really respected him. But I said, you know, my brother-in-law can help. And he said, when can we see him? And I said, now, let's go now. Now, you've got to understand, my brother-in-law was a pastor. When this person asked me this question, it was 9:30 on a Monday night. It's an hour and a half's drive. I've been a pastor. I don't want someone turning up at my house at 11 o'clock Monday night to ask me about demons. So, but thankfully, our brother-in-law, Richard, said yes. So we just jumped in the car and we went there.
And, of course, our guitarist, who was living with us at the time, he said, oh, can I come too? So he came.
Oh, wow. So the whole gang's heading over to your brother-in-law.
Yeah, and we got there. He invited us in. He said, what's the problem? We explained it. And Richard just said to the sound guy, he said, listen, you can't help your girlfriend till you help yourself. And by now, both him and the guitarist are sitting there with these almost angelic looks on their face. And they go, and he just says, oh, what have I got to do to help myself? And Richard said, give your life to Jesus. And he says, okay. And the guitarist said, can I do that too? And the next thing, we couldn't believe it, because remember, the church we grew up in, we never saw this.
Mm-hmm.
There were both my mates, you know, one a drug addict, sound guy that was just amazing, our guitarist, who used to drink and smoke like there was no tomorrow, kneeling down in my sister's lounge room, giving their lives to Jesus.
Oh, wow.
It's like amazing. Time stood still. We were dumbfounded. And then they turned to us and said, have you already said this prayer? And as Rosanna said, we'd said it many times from the back of the book. So we're going, yeah, I guess we have. Anyway, we finished there at, 1:30 in the morning. We got back in the car to go home. And we didn't have a band meeting. We didn't have a discussion. The drummer wasn't present, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But we just knew that we had to use our music for God. It's funny, isn't it? Because at that time, they would have normally counseled new Christians that were in bands to give up the secular music. But we just knew that we had to use our music for God. And then we got pulled up by the police. And, of course, the sound guy still had his drugs in his bag, in the car.
Just wait, this is driving back from this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The same night?
The same night.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, unfortunately, we have to stop it right there because we've run out of time for today's edition of Real Faith. But we invite you to join us again next time for more of our conversation with David and Rosanna Palmer. We'll find out what happens next, how they overcome being pulled over with drugs in the car. Also, we'll find out how they go on to be a Christian band and serve the Lord for many, many years. All that and more next time on Real Faith. Until then, if you want to find out more about them and their music, you can go to their Facebook page. That's Rosanna Palmer Musician. Just look up Rosanna Palmer Musician on Facebook. I'm an overcomer.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.